at the end of the service, okay? So that will be out in the foyer. Then we want to welcome our speaker, Douglas Wusu. He has traveled a very long way, originally from Nigeria, but more recently from Covenant Park Church. He is a man who knows what life is all about. He's got four children. One of them is a fresh baby, so the baby couldn't come, nor the wife. But he has brought two of his children along. Maybe you can just stand up so we can see you and welcome you. And Douglas, if you could, maybe you could just come to the front and give us a little appetizer about what you're going to talk about a little later.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, today I'm going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. It's actually known as the parable of the sower. So this is something that we're going to be looking at. It's dealing basically with the heart, the different types of heart, the different responses to the Word of God. So it's just something that's really been on my heart to actually share with you all. And I do have something for the children, so do be alert and pay attention.
All right. Thank you very much. I would ask you, if you haven't got a Bible, we have got church Bibles here. Please, this would be the time to go out and get one. If you brought your own or have already been given one, that's fine. We will now do the reading, and Paul and Maria will do the reading of the text for us. It is Mark 4, verses 1 to 20, and that should go with us through the service.
And again Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them with many things by parables, and in his teaching said,
"Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times."
Then Jesus said,
"He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them,
"The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven."
Then Jesus said to them,
"Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown."
Thank you. So keep that open, or that's what we will talk about later. We will now take some time to worship God in song. This is also the time when we will take up the offering. We are passing back bags around, but don't feel under any compulsion. This is just the way how we do it in Carpenter's Park. Others also give by standing orders or in other ways. How we do it in South Oxy. Sorry. I don't actually know how you do it. That is so true. You are transforming us. And you don't give up on us. You do not leave us to our own devices. You don't say you've blown it and I'm tired of you. Thank you for your patience, for your faithful love that is new every morning. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. And thank you for having a plan and a purpose for us. We want to praise you, Father, and in heaven we'll praise you forever. And here we want to praise you more and more. We want our whole lives to be something that praises you. And we want to thank you also for the monies that have been collected right now for the work of this church and beyond. Father, we want to thank you that you, this church and Carpenter's Park Church are instruments of yours, and we want to be good instruments of yours. We want to be instruments that you can use. You use people to save other people because of Jesus, and we thank you for that. It's such an honor, Father. Amen. Please be seated. This is Douglas' time for not only children.
Okay. Hello once again. How many children around? I mean, you know, young children. Can you raise your hands? Could you come up to the front, please, and sit in front so I could... Zipporah and Judah, can you come up, please? Have we got any other? We've got the other two young ones up there. Would you like to come in front, please? You too. Yeah? Come on now. Don't be shy. Teenagers, no problem. If you all can just come to the front, please, so we can focus our time. Basically, this is going to be a question and answer session. So those of you who are sitting down, you'll be called in to help if an answer doesn't come forth. Okay. So what passage of scripture had we just read this morning? Anybody? Mark. Mark 4. Well done. Okay. Mark chapter 4. Okay, let's just look at a few questions. They're going to be 5 in number. The first question, what is a parable?
A parable is bringing Jesus was playing parables and like saying about the kingdom of heaven. He was just explaining it in a story so the people would understand what he was trying to say to them.
Thank you so much. Well done. So a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson as told by Jesus in the Gospels. So basically, in Mark chapter 4, we're going to be looking at this story and find out what he's actually trying to explain to us and for us to understand. Now, in the parable is entitled The Parable of the Sower. So with a sower, it involves basically the farmer scattering seeds on the ground, and it falls on different types of ground. Now, what is the process by which the seed grows into a plant? Come on, got a girl.
Yeah.
What answer came to your head first? It's okay.
Yeah, go on. Germination.
Germination it is. Give her a round of applause. Well done. Yeah. Germination is the process by which the seed actually starts to grow and becomes a little plant. And as you continue to take care of the plant, it grows into a bigger, stronger plant. As time goes on, it starts to bear fruit. Okay. This is a question for everybody. What are the conditions needed to allow germination to take place? What are the conditions needed for germination? For Peter. Okay, let me come up to you.
Heat, light, moisture.
Okay, yeah.
Soil, maybe.
Soil, uh-huh.
More?
More, that's fine. Heat, light. You got some?
Rain,
okay, that brings the water element. Anybody else or any other? Any other? Okay. Basically, this is what we need. So the answers that you gave Peter and lady at the back, they are correct. But if we have to zoom in, basically we need the right temperature. So if it's really, really cold, I mean like if it's really icy, you find out the seed will not actually germinate. There's some particular plants probably that would do that. For instance, at the very low temperature of 4 degrees centigrade, we actually have the plants of spinach and radishes are able to germinate at that low temperature. The right temperature usually is about 24 to 32 degrees centigrade. So that's just almost around room temperature, which is about 25 degrees centigrade. So you need the right temperature, okay? Some people say the right climate when you're talking about countries and lands, etc. Obviously, we talked about the rain, we talked about water, moisture. It's very, very necessary as well for the seed to germinate in this. If the seed is overflooded with water, it will actually drown, so to speak. It won't be able to germinate. So you just need enough moisture for the seed to absorb for it to actually start the process. Also, it needs oxygen or air, obviously, because this is the way, it's a living plant. So it needs to breathe. It doesn't breathe like ourselves. It doesn't have lungs, but it does breathe. Light or darkness. Sometimes some seeds you can actually grow it just by your windowsill. And then sometimes, obviously, it has to go underneath the soil. So it's actually in the place of darkness. And this is how the seed will grow. So various plants require different situations to enable this growth to occur. Okay, going back to the questions. Is that all clear? Okay. Going back to the questions. What is the process by which green plants absorb light to make food? Come on now.
Photosynthesis.
All right now. Oh, yeah. Photosynthesis. It is so amazing, photosynthesis. Because this is the way in which the plant is able to make food for itself. And when we talk about photosynthesis, it's basically, it's the leaves of the plant. You know, the leaves, they are green. They are filled with a substance called chlorophyll. And this is able to capture the light, which then combines with the carbon dioxide, the air that is received, and it's able to, from that carbon dioxide, with the light, it's able to make, with water as well, H2O, with water, you're able then to produce glucose, which then is able to nourish the plant. And what happens is that, as a result of photosynthesis, we actually have, as a byproduct, oxygen. So, when you just look at that process in itself, it's amazing how God has actually designed the plants. You know, God created the earth and he had like plants, he had trees around. And you see them all around. You wonder, why do they need to be here? I know some of them use them for food. But think about it. We as human beings, we use oxygen to breathe. We take in oxygen from the air and we exhale carbon dioxide. Now, if all of us were living here on earth, if we kept on breathing the same oxygen and just exhaling carbon dioxide, we run out of oxygen. But God, in his amazing grace, has so designed it that the carbon dioxide that we actually exhale, the plants actually inhale, and they exhale the oxygen. So there's always a surplus of oxygen around. Amen. God is worthy. Praise God. Okay. This is going to be the last question. And it says, some birds eat seeds. What is a common way that farmers prevent the birds from eating the seed? Come on now.
Scarecrow?
Scarecrow it is. Well done. And what's your name? Well done to the children. Can we all give them a round of applause? What's going to be happening is that later on, I'm going to be looking into the parable of the sower. And with the things that we've answered, the questions that we've answered, bear that in mind. We're going to be looking at the four types of soil. We're going to be looking at I've labeled them basically, the four types. I've called the first type Mr. Hard. And then I've called the second type of ground, so to speak, Mr. Shallow. And then I've called the third type Mr. Thorny. And then the fourth, Mr. Good. So that's what we'll be looking into later on. God bless you all.
Thank you, Douglas. We are going to sing another song before Douglas comes to speak to us.
Thank you so much for that, for leading us with the songs to praise God. I know a brief introduction had been made, just to say that Michelle, my wife, obviously she's taking care of our 6-week-old baby boy, Josiah. Yeah. So he's doing very well. It's amazing, you know, he was born at a certain weight, and every week or so, or 2 weeks, we have to go to the clinic to get him weighed, and they're tracking his rate of growth, and they're saying, yes, he's doing very, very well, you know, he's right there on the curve, and he's doing very well. So he's adding weight, he's growing, he's changing, and that is an amazing thing. Come Thursday, be the 3rd of September, we'll make it 10 years I've actually been married to Michelle. So that is something that we are looking forward to celebrate. But it just shows the faithfulness of God. In terms of place of birth, I was actually born in Whitechapel, East London. But I grew up in the area of Northwest London, which is Wilsden Green, Dollis Hill. So that's actually where I grew up. I did go back to live in Nigeria. My dad insisted that we go back to see exactly where he comes from. So I was out there for a period of 10 years. And then during that 10-year period, I was allowed back to the UK. Because sometimes I had dreams of, you know, zebra crossings and things like that. And I wake up, I find out I'm still in Nigeria. So there was I was kind of like inclined to come back. Parents weren't allowed, didn't want me to come back so quickly. So when they felt it was time, when it was right, I was allowed to come back. And I came back probably when I was actually 19, I came back. And when I actually So I kind of grew up in the church as well. And when I mean growing up in the church, my parents weren't actually believers per se, but they believed in God. But they were not what we would say Christians, as we would call born-again Christians. But they would send me to church, so I'll be responsible for taking my brother and my sister to church. And there was an Anglican church in Wilton Harrow, so I was doing that every Sunday. So I was used to the stories, and I believed in them. But had I made a commitment? I hadn't made a commitment, maybe because I hadn't understood it, or there were so many things going on. Maybe I was looking at my father, my earthly father, and who wasn't really involved with church activities. But when I was 21, is when the Lord really got a hold of my heart and really convicted me. And the way he convicted me was actually through a Muslim, through a conversation with a Muslim. And it was me pointing out, saying that, how can you be a Muslim saying so and so? And he said to me, well, how can you be a Christian and be here on a Sunday? I was in a market, basically. And so you think a simple word like that would, it's like, what's that? It's just a question, you know, how can you be here on a Sunday? No, but the Lord was behind that, because right then and then I made a decision. I said, you never see me here again on a Sunday. So actually the next day I went looking for a church. I was up in Oxford, and you know, you ride on the bike. So I was going around looking which church can I actually go to. And I visited about 3 churches just riding on the front. And I ended up with a church that was very close to where I lived. It's an evangelical free church. And that's where I stood out there. And I remember just myself and the Lord. And I just said, I'll be here, Lord, come Sunday morning. And I was there. And since then, the Lord has been, you know, I've been walking like over 20 years now with the Lord. So praise God. That's been amazing. It's been amazing. So that's my brief introduction about myself. But looking at the parable of the sower, some people refer to this and say it's the parable. It's all to do with the soils, the different types of soils, and it is. But obviously they've termed it the parable of the sower. Before I go, can we just bow our heads? I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you, Lord Jesus. And Holy God, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to share your holy word. I thank you for your people. And I pray, Holy God, that you truly bless and anoint the words that will come forth. I pray that you bless each and every hearer here. I pray that the words will go deep and bring forth fruit that will bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so looking at the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now, with this parable, there's an account in Matthew. There's also an account in Luke, Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8. But for the purposes of the time that we do have, we'll just be looking at individual soils, the individual characters I mentioned. You remember them? Mr. Hard, Mr. Shallow, Mr. Thorny, and Mr. Good. Yes. We'll be looking at these, if you like that. Okay, that's great. We'll be looking at these 4 individuals. And they basically represent 4 types of people. Jesus is talking about the word. The sower, the seed itself, is the word of God. And the sower be Jesus himself, and it could be any of us, who is sharing the word of God with people or people around us. Now, there are going to be different responses to this. And the first response that we'll be looking at, obviously, would be Mr. Hard. Why is he called Mr. Hard? It talks about the fact that the seed fell on this ground, but it was not actually received. The seed fell on the surface of their heart as they heard the words, but they were not able to receive it. In the area of scripture, it talks about the fact that they did not understand. But at times, it's just the fact that they just simply rejected what was being said to them. And that state of ground or the heart, they call it a hard heart. The heart that's hardened by sin. I'm sure all of us were in that situation at one point in our lives, whereby Jesus was preached to us and we heard him, but we didn't respond immediately. We just went away doing our own thing. And what had happened was that the Bible makes it clear that the birds came and they ate the seed. And when Jesus was explaining that part of the parable, he was saying that the devil himself comes quickly and snatches that seed away. And in Luke, he goes on to say that that seed that's taken away so that they may not believe, the people may not believe and be saved. Now, when you think about how the devil can just come so quickly in to take that seed, I was just thinking about what actually happened or what actually happens. Do you remember the temptation that Jesus went through? Jesus being the Word himself. Yet Satan came on the scene. And he tried to question his belief, to add doubt, if you are the Son of God. Well, very clearly we know at the time of the baptism of Jesus Christ, voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But the devil comes and sows doubt. If you are the Son of God. He did that to Adam and Eve, or rather to Eve. Will you surely die? The questions that he asked. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we think to ourselves, you know, we might be young, we might be old in age. And the word comes to you, and you think to yourself, the thought comes, not today, not today, maybe sometime later on, maybe tomorrow, or the week after, or the month after, or next year. That's your reasoning. And that is the strategy that Satan always uses to steal the seed that's actually sown in our lives. He steals it with all these doubts, these reasonings that just, the effect of the word is voided, so to speak, and we are not able to receive that word. And at times people, because of the iniquity, the sin in their heart, some people just love, because if when you look, Jesus said that the light has come, but the people rejected the light because they loved the darkness. So is that aspect of putting up a resistance against the word of God? In Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about today, if you hear my voice, talking about the Holy Spirit, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So we could actually be responsible for actually blocking out what God is actually telling us. And at times when we're actually sharing with people as well, because I'm sure that you have friends, you have neighbors, you have family members who are not Christians. And then God gives you a divine opportunity to just share a word. Might not be a whole big sermon, but just a little word that points them to Jesus Christ. And at times you do see the responses. They don't come on board, they reject. But you know something? I would just encourage that we understand that the enemy is right there as well. And sometimes some people are so holding on to the sinful ways or sinful lives that we need to really truly intercede for them and pray for them, for God to intervene, because it will really take the grace of God to bring about that change. So that's Mr. Hard. Let's now look at Mr. Shallow. What happens here with Mr. Shallow? It talks about the fact that the seed actually, when it's actually hits the ground, it's actually received. That means it goes in. and starts to grow. But it talks about the fact that it springs up quickly and it shoots up upwards instead of going downwards. And the reason why that happens is because in the case of Mr. Shallow, there is a rocky underlining surface underneath the soil. So the soil, actually, for the seed to germinate, to produce its root, and for it to grow its root, to get the moisture, etc., is prevented because the soil is really shallow. And underneath the soil is the bedrock of limestone, as I've been told, in the area of Israel, that you have this limestone bedrock that's underneath. And so when the farmer, when he's plowing with the plow and he's cutting through the soil to till the ground, so to speak, to make it accessible for the seed to be able to settle in and to germinate. So there's that initial hardness, but there is that hardness underneath, which, so when the seed is received, the seed is received with great joy by the person, by Mr. Shallow. He's really, really joyful. He's really happy. But it goes on to say that as the plant shoots up, it doesn't shoot up just normally. It shoots up abnormally. There is just that burst of excitement. And sometimes it's to do with, the zeal, the excitement of the moment. What Jesus can actually do for me, they haven't actually counted the cost. There hasn't been a true repentance. There hasn't been a conviction of their sin condition. So without that sin conviction, without that true conversion, if people are responding to Jesus, it's because of what they can get. A lot of times when Jesus was feeding, where you heard about the miracles that he did, people were wowed by the miracles, the healing that were going on. He fed the 5,000 because of the bread. And if you notice in that, when he finished feeding, the people were coming to make him the king, their king. Sorry, I just saw my children playing around there. Don't distract me. So what happened is that they immediately wanted to make him king. But Jesus knew their hearts. They were just so happy because they had been given this bread and they really didn't have a resolve to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him through. They were just excited. And sometimes people come to church for the wrong reasons. They come, I remember speaking to this young man, and as I was talking with him, he just said, "Oh, I love the churches in America." And I said, "Well, what is it you love about them?" "Oh, the music, the clapping of hands. Everybody's just so happy." It's like, okay. There's no emphasis on the word, on Jesus. It's just the music, the clapping of hands, and being happy. So people then decide to come to the church because of the music, the clapping of hands, wanting to be happy. The whole social, you have your coffees, and all these things are not bad. It's just the fact that if you make this your reason for coming to church, they come for the social reasons, the social needs. They want to meet with people. They meet new people. Sometimes some people say, "Oh, I want to meet this person, I want to meet that person. Where can we go?" To church. And the sermon is going on and their eyes are roving around. Who are they going to meet? Who are they going to see, etc.? So the thing is that they come in for the wrong reasons. And on the outside, you think like they're coming to church and they would pick their Bibles up and obviously they'll have the reading and they'll be happy, they'll be glad to go through the readings of the Bible. And when it's all said and done, it's finished, they go home and they just continue their lives as as normal. There's not been a heart change. And it's only when it comes to the time of testing, the trials, the temptations, then you'll be able to find or see this individual and find out that were they truly committed to Jesus Christ. And it's usually at the time of testing, where they're going through a trial, they're not so happy. They're sad. They find themselves all of a sudden suffering. Jesus also calls us to live a life of suffering, that we will suffer because of Him. A lot of people suffered, the apostles suffered, because of Jesus Christ. And that's the reality of following the Lord. And you have all these adversities that come our way. And it reminds me of what Jesus said when He was the Sermon on the Mount, and He was talking about the people that built their houses on the different foundations, one built on the rock, the one built on the sand. He said that that hears my words and do exactly what I say, likening him to a man that built his house on the rock. But the one that actually hears my words and you don't do what I say, likening to a man that builds a house on sand. And what happens is that when the wind blew and when the rain fell, and when the storm hit against that house, what happened? The house that was built on sand collapsed and it fell. But it was only the house that was built upon the rock that actually withstood the onslaught of these natural elements. And so it is with the Mr. Shallow. When he was faced with adversity, he thought to himself, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this. I was supposed to be happy going and clapping, etc. I didn't sign up for this. And what happens? He falls away. The Bible talks about the sun scorched. And the reason being because he had no root. Mr. Hard had no root. Because when the root was trying to grow downwards, because that's usually the first part of the seed that comes forth, the root, radical they call it, going forth, because of the bedrock, the things, the hardness right there, that is not seen as in regards to Mr. Hard, but it's underlying there in the heart. And that was revealed through adversity. And henceforth, it had no other way to grow but to go upwards, which is unnatural. And because it had no moisture, the roots go in to get the moisture. It had no moisture. When the sun blazed, it was scorched, overheated, and died. So that is Mr. Shallow. So at times when we are actually meeting with people or sharing with people, we have to be careful with what we actually are sharing with them. It's all the fact that every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ Himself is the only one that came and paid for our sins, that we may live and have eternal life. That is the true, and that's the heart of the gospel. Anything else is perverted, and it will always show up in the test of times, trying times. So let's go on to now Mr. Thorny. Mr. Thorny. Mr. Thorny, also, he actually receives this, the word. He actually has the word in his heart. And the seed starts to germinate. So it starts to grow. You know, the root comes forth. And then the stem starts to push. But the situation with Mr. Thorny, he has other things in his heart that are growing alongside the Word of God. The Bible makes it clear when we look at here in Matthew, Jesus actually explains and says that, verse 18, the seed, still others like seed, sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Verse 18. So the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and other things start to overtake the priority, which is the word of God, Jesus himself, who's number one. I know that Dave was here last week and he was sharing about considering the lilies of the field, and he said, consider the sparrows. How your Heavenly Father feeds them, takes care of them. And he goes on to say that we are not to be like the Gentiles who are always questioning, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to sleep? These things are important. But if you make it your ultimate priority, gaining wealth, money is important. But the trick is, like, when it becomes your number one, is that you live to acquire. And what happens is that you're more relying on the riches or on the wealth to carry you through life. But God wants us to rely on Him. Since we now become His children, He's become our Father, and that He will take care of us. Didn't Jesus say, do not worry. Do not worry. And by worrying, how are you going to be able to add extra inches to your height or cause the situation to change? Just by worrying. Instead, we are to focus and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the Bible says, and all other things will be added. So you make God your priority. How come the seed was growing, and how come this began to choke the word, the thorns, the deceitful riches, and the worrying? How come it started to choke the word? Do you remember the situation whereby Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat? And at first they were really scared, thinking that was a ghost. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, come. Based on the word, Jesus said, come. So, by faith, Jesus took that step out of the boat and started to walk on the water. So he was doing something supernatural here. But what happened? The Bible said he started to consider the winds and the waves. And as he started to look to his left and look to his right, I said, this cannot be happening. And sure, it was not happening. He started to sink because his eyes were off Jesus Christ, his word. And he was considering the winds and the waves. And so it is as well. When we worry, it's though we are basically saying, we don't trust you, God, that you're going to take care of me here. When we are all of a sudden thinking to ourselves, I must run and make it happen. So in other words, probably if I have enough riches here or wealth here, then I'll be able to solve this issue, solve this problem, do this, do that. But the thing is that you get so caught up in that cycle, you think life is just about that only. And then you lose the whole purpose of life itself. Doesn't the Bible say that the love of money, it's not the money itself, but the love of it, is the root of all evil? Again, going further down, Jesus did say that a man cannot serve two masters. So basically, you're saying that you know, you love God, but also on equal ground, you're saying that you love money as well. You say it cannot happen. You must cling to one and forsake the other. And what happens is that if you try to do that, you will find the choking effect. You will not be able to see the fruit that Christ, or the work that Christ is doing in one's life, manifest, because of these things will come in and choke the life out. So it actually prevents it from the life of Christ being seen and the fruit of his seed being manifested. So the key is Jesus being number one. We have so many promises in the scripture about God's provision. God said, I will supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God will take care of you. So we can trust God. Many of us have been walking this walk now for like 50 years. And if you ask them the question, has the Lord ever failed you? What would the answer be? No. Never. Might seem like it, but he never. He's there on time. He always, always. He's faithful. That's why he's worthy of our praise. Now let's look at Mr. Good. Mr. Good is the one that actually has the seed sown. And this seed is able to go on, put down root and grow up and bear fruit. Nothing has hindered the process. Nothing has interrupted what God has been doing through his seed. And as a result of that, we find Jesus saying that you can see a 30-fold. That's 30 times the amount of seed that has been sown, so to speak. The fruit, the crop that's harvested is 30-fold, 30 times, much more. And then there are those that are 60-fold. And then there are those that are 100-fold. I must ask, who's in the 30-fold? Hey, don't put your hands up. But what that tells me is the fact that with the seed, if we really undertake the various disciplines, maybe you've ever seen this wheel. We've used this wheel a number of times, the navigator wheel. It talks about the effectiveness of a Christian. And it talks about the four spokes. It talks about prayer. It talks about the word. It talks about fellowship. And it talks about witnessing. What happens is that the more we give ourselves over to prayer, to the word, to fellowship, and to witnessing, any given opportunity, maybe just one opportunity in a week, but if you make it count, my word, to God, that is glorious. That is glorious. And then in terms of the word, we just don't skim through the pages of the Bible. We read and we meditate. We think about it. And as we meditate on the word of God, it takes deeper root because we are going to apply the things that we have learned from the word of God, what God has shown us in his word. And when you start to apply the various principles that Jesus is teaching us, we start to find ourselves bearing fruit as we ought to bear. When I was looking at the 30, the 60, and the 100, the thought that crossed my mind was, the 30 is good. The 60 is better. And the 100 is best. So we can all find ways of improving. may be fruitful right now, but there's still something else you can do to improve upon that. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said that, forgetting those things which are behind me, I exert myself towards the mark of the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I exert myself. I press by the grace of God. It's not I, but it's by the grace of God. I press forward. And then he goes on later to say, around verse 16, that I have not yet reached. In other words, you know, there are great things that were happening through Paul. But yet he said, I have not yet reached. There's still more to do. More things that I can apply myself to. Because I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. My whole purpose is really to know God, to know Jesus, and the fellowship of his suffering. This is what he was saying. And for us as Christians, we can persevere. We can press on. People talk about it, they call it persevering faith. Press on, just keep on going on, doing what God has called us to do. I know we were singing the songs earlier on, and we were singing about the purposes of God and doing his will. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to see the kingdom of God in my generation. God is calling all of us higher. And that we are to encourage each other. We are to spur one another in love, iron sharpening each other. We've got to rub against each other. We grow that way. But God wants us to be ultimately mature. And he wants us to do his will. Jesus tells us that the first and the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He tells us to do this. Again in Proverbs 4:23, I believe it says that we are to guard our hearts with all diligence. At times, the birds will come to try to snatch things away from us. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But we, as the Bible says in James chapter 4, are to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So that we can bear the fruit that we ought to bear for the glory of God. I'll end there. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Paul, could you raise the first plant nearest to you? This represents who? Mr. Shallow. That's right. Okay, next one is a plant that is growing all right, but no flowers. That represents Mr. Thorny, that's right. Then the next one up, that's a beautiful chrysanthemum. That, Mr. Good. And then there is one that isn't even there. That is Mr. Hard, because the seed is gone. The birds ate it, right? So, of course, we all know this was Jesus' parable. Thankfully, we can change. South Oxy Baptist Church says at the beginning on the welcome screen, it always says, we are a welcoming church. Can you get that up here? Christ at the center, who love God, love one another, and love the lost. Oh, yeah, and it says somewhere that we believe that people can change, right? So the way that this soil changes is through rain. Hard soil gets soft, right? And that is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So let us sing together, stand together and sing More Love, More Power. This is the end of our, official end of our service. If God has spoken to you and you say, I need some cutting back of thorns today, please do not leave it there and say, I'll do it later today. Come to the front, sit somewhere in the front row and someone will come and help you to cut back some thorns. We'll pray with you. If you say, I know, there is so much hard lime rock underneath, but a little bit is penetrating and I want to go further, come to the front and someone will pray with you. Just sit in the front row. We are going to sing one closing song, and I would, in my life, Lord, be glorified. It is a prayer. It's a private prayer, really. And I would encourage you, sing it if you mean it. If it is something you would just sing because everybody is singing it, don't sing it. That might actually take courage. But think about it and talk quietly with God as others are singing it. After that, there will be tea and coffee at the back, which everybody is welcome to.